I won the toss yesterday during the college version, so Gator, you receive. Kang, you ready to go?
Here we go, boys. Gator, you're up first. Sam Darnold is 3-0. Justin Fields is 3-0. Malik Willis is 2-0. Andy Dalton, 1-0. All as starters. Which one is the most shocking to you?
Well, to me, it's Andy Dalton. And, you know, I'm not a big Sam Darnold guy, but we've talked about it before the season began. Minnesota's offense is fantastic with all the weapons they have to work with. And what Brian Flores has done with the defense is great. So it's not Darnold. Justin Fields, I've always had faith in Justin Fields. Plus, he goes to winning organization. No kidding. He's done well. And Malik Willis, it came down to Malik Willis, honestly, and Andy Dalton. But Willis, again, in a great situation with Green Bay. So, for me, it's Dalton. The Panthers are horrible. And they go around the road and beat the Raiders? Huh? It's Dalton.
So, the list is – the question is, which is the most shocking? Why is Malik Willis on this list?
Because – oh, I see what you did. I see what you did.
And you said Justin Fields is now with a winning organization. Are you implying that he left?
A crap organization?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's Darnold to me. He started 7 games the last 2 years, and it looked like he was entering the journeyman backup phase of his career. But if this holds up, this will be his best career completion percentage for a season, the most yards passing he'll have in a season, and the best touchdown-to-interception ratio he will have in a season. So I'll say Sam Darnold's the most shocking to me.
Yeah, they're all pretty shocking, but I'm going to go with Andy Dalton. Because I think the shocking part with Andy Dalton is also that Bryce Young got benched. Andy Dalton was never going to be the starter to start this year. The whole offseason, training camp, preseason was to get Bryce Young ready for this season. Week one, week two, right? And then all of a sudden, no, Andy Dalton, you got less than a week to prepare. And not only do you prepare, you go out there and throw a great game. You upset the Raiders, 1-0, and it might be their only win of the season. I don't know, but to me that was the most shocking so far. But that's the NFL nowadays. You never know what's going to happen. All right, who's more overrated, Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence?
I'm going to say it's long-haired Daniel Jones, and quarterback rating can be a wonky thing, but if you look at quarterback ranking, and it's early, Trevor Lawrence is 26th in the NFL right now in QBR, nestled right in between Will Levis and Deshaun Watson. Burrow's still top 10, but this is the most damning thing. Jacksonville is averaging 13 points per game. So I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence.
It's Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he was the guy coming out of college, one of the greatest college quarterbacks you've ever seen. Everybody was waiting for him to come into the NFL. He goes 1-1, as he should have, based on what he did in college. But he looks completely lost. And, again, this is another dumpster fire of an organization they have down there in Jacksonville. And that's why it is. I mean, at least Joe Burrow is taking his team to a Super Bowl, and they have expectations there. I don't know what they're expecting in Jacksonville, but they're terrible.
Yeah, both guys, you know, first overall picks, but I'm going with Trevor Lawrence as well, Gator. I think that he was the one. There's been a lot of quarterbacks going first overall because that's the league now. You got to build around a quarterback. But he was the one guy who was like, hey, this guy can't miss. He's Andrew Luck. He's Peyton Manning. And he has missed so far. He's 1-1 with a 1-1 playoff record. He hasn't really done anything. He's incredibly disappointing. Joe Burrow, I think, is a bit overrated as well, but he has been to a Super Bowl. He's kind of living off that Chiefs win in the playoffs. He's going to have to do something eventually more than what he's done so far. But as of right now, Trevor Lawrence, the more overrated quarterback for me, and he's getting paid a ton of money as well. What team or player has been the most disappointing 3 games into the season?
Well, for including injuries, I'm going to go with Christian McCaffrey, and it's because this went from he's scratched, like a late scratch in the opener to no idea that there was anything, like, oh, okay, so he's going to miss a game. When you're flying to Europe to get it looked at, you're going to Germany. Now I'm super curious, this mysterious Achilles injury sounds like it could be season-ending. I don't think you're going to Europe to be back this coming Sunday. So I think it's this McCaffrey out of the blue possible season-ending injury. And then the consensus number one overall fantasy pick.
I mean, for me, it's the Cincinnati Bengals. Every year since the Super Bowl appearance, they're expecting to be back, and now they're 0-3 to start this season. They just lost at Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, they just lost at Washington. This is a team that has no defensive identity.
Wasn't that game in Cincy?
Was it in Cincy? My bad. It was in Cincy. Even worse.
Yeah.
Good God. But they have no identity on defense. Offensively, I mean, I like Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is good, and they show they can put points on the board, but they just can't do it as a team. And so, you know, each offseason you got a chance to fix your deficiencies. They did not. They're 0-3. To me, that's the most disappointing thing in football.
I'm going to go off the board a little bit. I'm going to go star tight ends. Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, Sam Laporta, Kyle Pitts, George Kittle's hurt. Where are you guys, man? Missing posters for all these guys. I know it's only three games into the year, but they've been disappointing to me so far. Things can change. Of course, other teams' game plan around these star tight ends, but maybe age. Can't say that with Laporta and Pitts, of course, but they have not put up the numbers that people have expected them to, and especially when it's quote-unquote supposed to be a passing league and everyone wants weapons, those star tight ends have been missing so far early in the year. All right, the top four highest paid quarterbacks are currently 1-9 as starters to start the seasons. Are quarterbacks overpaid?
Oh my God, yes. They are way overpaid. There's no way that one position on the field should make nearly twice as much as the next closest position when you talk about quarterbacks. It's gross. Frankly, it's just gross. It's bogue. It's all those things. But unless you put a cap on position groups, this is just going to be the way that it is. I mean, it's like people forget that a quarterback can't do what he does unless there's an offensive line there in front of him to protect him. A quarterback can't do what he does unless a wide receiver, a tight end, or running back are catching the ball. A quarterback can't do what he does unless a running back is getting yards on the ground and continuing to move the sticks down the field. Yes, he is the unquestioned leader of the team and should be paid more than most, if not all, but not by the amount that they are.
So it's interesting because I thought, ooh, wow, let me do a deep dive and take a look at this. And what I realized is, yes, in terms of average annual value, the top four are Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, who else, Kang? Who are the other two?
Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow.
Thank you very much. But their average annual value is spread out over the course of the contract. Right now, outside of Dak, the other three aren't taking up a huge percentage of the cap. Dak's taking up 17% of the cap this season. The other three, Burrow 11.63, Love 8.13, Trevor Lawrence 5.88% of their team's cap. So their contracts, the big money's next. So they're not taking up too much money of the cap. I think it's worth keeping an eye on, but I don't think they're overpaid.
I do think they're overpaid, but it's almost like you have no choice in this league. Or do you? The first question I gave you guys was Sam Darnold, Justin Fields, Malik Willis, Andy Dalton, all undefeated as starters. If you build a good team, you don't need to pay that much money to quarterbacks. The issue is, though, the NFLPA, they're smart. They're trying to get their players paid, and they're paying quarterbacks way too early because you do kind of have to, because you need at least a decent quarterback. And the thing is, if you're decent to above average now, you're going to get paid as a quarterback. But I go back to, or do you really have to? Because look at the first question with all those other quarterbacks. Build a good team, build an offensive line. Maybe you can do this a different way, and everyone's been doing it, you know, the wrong way and spending too much money on one position. So, but yeah, I think they're getting overpaid.
Be Pittsburgh.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
All right, Mel Kiper hates cover two. In fact, he hates cover two so much, he wants it banned from the NFL. That's right. He thinks safeties should only be able to line up so far off the line of scrimmage or else it's a penalty. Do you agree? Should the NFL ban cover two?
Okay, I love Mel. I really do. I just think Mel is morphing into the I'm an old man and I don't care phase of his life, and it's okay. I'm not there yet. I will be Sunday. Villani's been there for 20 years, but I'm not there yet. But that doesn't mean I don't respect the opinions of people who are. And obviously, I think Mel is kind of there. Like, he's like, F it. Let me. I'm sick of something, so I'm going to overreact. And he just doesn't care.
Yeah, this is just strange. I mean, I've always thought if somebody's come up with a new way to do something, figure a way to stop it. That's what your job is to do. So the offenses need to figure that out. And they will. They'll figure it out. I don't know if it's just that, you know, Mel lost in a Madden tournament, and he sees cover two, and he's like, why guys doing cover two? Why aren't you doing Tiger Blitz? I don't understand where the Tiger Blitz is. But he's pissed about it. Let him rant and rave. It's not going to change anything.
So rule changes, you know, contrary to popular belief, they're not made for competitive balance. They're made for entertainment. And this isn't all sports, whether it's basketball, baseball, the shift, you know, hack-a-shack, zone defense, hockey, whatever it is, icing. They do this because is this entertaining for people to watch or not? And Mel Kiper wants longer passes, deeper bombs, right? And that's why he hates cover two. I don't think it's an issue for entertainment, though. The ratings have only gone up every year for football. You run the ball, you soften them up, make the safeties come closer to line defense, you throw the deep pass. The only thing that matters in the end is entertainment, and I don't think it ruins the entertainment right now. You leave cover two as it is. It doesn't make it any harder to watch. I think people still love football. I think Mel's completely overreacting, but I don't mind thinking out of the box to make things, you know, more entertaining for the people. All right, last one, guys. Jaden Daniels' first touchdown pass was to an offensive lineman, Trent Scott. But it was also Trent Scott's first and maybe only NFL TD of his career. Who should get the ball?
I mean, this is a fun question to answer, but you got to split it somehow. Make it a hybrid football and turn it into two of them. Because, look, obviously Jaden Daniels is going to have plenty of touchdown passes in his career. He'll have way more. But for the offensive lineman, this is like, how else do you get a keepsake as an offensive lineman unless something like this happens in your career?
That take was so hot. Here comes the fire truck.
Another fire truck.
I'm going Trent Scott. How many other chances is he going to get to keep a football? Jaden Daniels will have consequential footballs in his career to keep. Trent Scott, this is it. So I give it to the O-lineman.
Oh, Trent Scott all day. This guy might not even touch a football the rest of his NFL career. Jaden Daniels, and also, of course, it's special. It's your first NFL touchdown pass. But to show your true leadership, unselfishness, you give the ball to your offensive lineman. That's the guy who's protecting you all day, the big uglies in the trenches. Show him some love, man. It's only one football. Don't worry about it. You threw touchdown passes, you know, in that game, let alone the rest of your career. So Trent Scott gets that ball, man.
And there it is. That concludes the Wide 9 Omaha 4 Down Around the League Blitz thing.